The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
Today's chat is about three things: how we talk about anti-racism, the importance of names, and also about projects started by allies and members of Vancouver's Black community. I'd actually planned for this chat to be a follow-up to the Anti-Black Racism Town Hall held by the City of Vancouver a couple weeks ago. I reached out to the facilitator, Vanessa Richards, about speaking on that topic. But the interview evolved to being something a little different, and I think a whole lot better. I speak with facilitator Vanessa Richards, Ethos Lab founder Antonia Tolulope Alitokumbo Ogundeli, and iDream Library founder Aisha Kiani. We start with Vanessa explaining why we've shifted the focus of the interview from the city's town hall to projects coming out of the Black community. Here's Vanessa.
Macy invited me to have a conversation after the town hall. And one of the things that I was trying to do at the town hall was hail all the Black activity that's going on in Van. I kind of want to circle back to what the city is or isn't doing at this juncture, quite frankly. It's a long game, and I'm happy to talk about it, but I'm actually more interested in what we're doing for and amongst ourselves and how we can continue the conversation with any civic government, any federal, any government. There's lots of issues of equity and justice to be addressed, and we all work in ways that interface with systemic delivery of services and life support. However, my feeling, Meishi, is that there's an opportunity to keep on talking about what we are doing all the time, anyways, outside of waiting for a city or a government to do some of the major lifts that need to happen. We will stay on track with them. We're in the corner. We're like helping to make it happen. But what I don't want to see happen is that the only story about Black Van is the fulfillment of a community land trust and the conversation only about our relationship to police and conversation that's only about us in relation to struggle and in relation to not having the power we have be as central to the horror, pain, and despair of living in a system that prioritizes and privileges people with different skin color and in all their different rankings, with, of course, the top one being white skin domination. I think it's a good word to use sometimes because supremacy has baked into it a value. It's supreme. And I think it's a domination. It's a system of domination. I should have said that at town hall. But I say that sometimes. I've got a lot of words to say, and I don't say the same ones all the time. But white skin domination is what we're looking at, right? And so by inviting my sisters here, I wanted your listeners to have the opportunity to be like, wow, look at this beautiful stuff that's happening. That's like tangible. There's people, lives are being changed, and we're getting it done. That's the story I want people to know about. I want them to know that this is happening. This is Black Van right now, getting stuff done in a way that will make an impact across not only our city, but I think in a much broader way. And I just knew that I couldn't be rolling on my own coming from a conversation around Black Vancouver without coming with some of my squad, frankly.
Vanessa brought in Aisha Kiani and Antonia Ogundeli. Here's Aisha talking about the importance of names. You'll hear Antonia and Vanessa as well.
We're learning a lot out here. We go through years and years of education. We learn new things every day. Your name should be one of them, you know? You know, why not?
Exactly. If I'm told to like learn the periodic table and say sideways words, I can say Maisie and like, you know, get it right. My Nigerian name is Tolu, and so I'm called Tolu at home, everywhere, like my family, my close friends call me Tony. I'm called all sorts of things. But anyways, my husband was like, why do you all have aliases? He knows in which context to call me which name.
Yeah.
And then when people hear it, they're like confused, like, who is that?
But you made the decision to go with like Tolu or Antonia, or like what's the criteria there?
Oh, I mean, I went by Tolu. Well, first off, I went by Diana Ross for a good period of my childhood because I was I don't know what I was thinking. Like kindergarten to like grade one, I told people my name was Diana Ross, like my middle name. Like it's, yeah, my middle name's Diana Ross. but I went by Tolu. I decided to go by Tolu. And then when I was young, I felt the grief. And then I just switched it to Anthonia. And then I was like, oh, I should go back to Tolu. At one point in time, I thought about it. But I love my name. I love Anthonia. I love all parts of my name. So it's not that I'm hiding Tolu or anything like that. It's just... that's where it's like, it feels intentional, where before it felt like I was kind of like hiding my identity. Now it's like, I love all parts of my name.
And interestingly, all people have to do is say a th instead of a t, and it's still a bit of a big deal. I love telling people, no, it's Anthonia.
Thank you so much, Vanessa.
I love that job. And I had a doll called Diana Ross and one called Aretha Franklin, Diana, Aretha, and Roberta.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah, in fact, I've got some of them still close.
Yeah. Yes.
While we're on the subject of names, like, yeah, like, can you help me with your, like, first and last name to make sure I say it right? Aisha, go for it.
Okay, so my name is Aisha.
Aisha, thank you.
Yeah, Aisha, and my last name is Kiani.
Aisha Kiani.
And my pronouns are she, her, to start that off as well. Yeah. Aisha Kiani. Mm-hmm.
Can we go around the circle?
Yeah.
And Anthonia, you're next.
Yeah, you said it like perfectly. Anthonia, Tolu Lokpe, Are Tokumbo, Ogundele. That is my name. I have like 8 other ones because Nigerians love names and it's out of control. I was just talking to my friend about it. Just love names. Yeah, Anthonia Tolu Lokpe Ade Tokumbo is my name. Since we're talking about it.
That's great. Thank you.
And do you know the meaning for your names, Aisha and Anthonia?
I do, yeah. So my full name is Aisha Yasmin Kiani. Mm-hmm. Aisha means life, basically. I don't know if you all remember, like, Stevie Wonder's album Songs in the Key of Life. So that album was written for his daughter, Aisha. So he pronounces it Aisha. But yeah, Aisha is a very common name in another part of the world. It's also a very common Muslim name. My background is Pakistani, Norwegian, and French, and my father is Muslim. Pakistani, yeah. So life, and then Yasmin is the jasmine flower, and Kiani, this is going to sound wild, but it really does. It means royal. And it represents a certain class of and of people that have for thousands of years been military and politicians. And that is sort of the rank that they've held in society from before Islam existed, before they were in Pakistan, when they were Zoroastrians before that, you know? So it's been a long, very, very old name. And that's my sauce. That's all my sauce that I'm coming with. Yeah. There's no halfway stepping with my name. I can't mess up. My dad was like, you're not going to mess up in this life. I'm giving you this name and you have to come with it.
Sonia, do you care if you like? I'd like to invite you to like share the meaning of your names, if you like.
Anthonia means priceless, but it's named after my parents are deeply Catholic, so Saint Anthony, and then it was Anthonia, and then Tolu Lokpe is to God be the glory. And then Ade Tokumbo, you'll notice a lot of Nigerians have like the Ade Tokumbo or Tokumbo, or it should be, well, fully Ade Tokumbo, which means born abroad. So it's like a default like name that's given to a child that's born abroad. So that's my Areto Kumbo. And then my last name means, you'll know the first four letters are Ogun, which is the god of iron. And so Ogundele is the god of iron lives here.
Yeah. And the god of iron plays a particularly strong role in Yoruba culture.
Mm-hmm. Is
Ogun the same as Shango?
I don't know. I don't think so. I wouldn't think so.
Because Shango is also the god of iron, but that might be a regional, like mm-hmm. a Trinidadian, or like, you know, when the Yoruba people went into the rest of the world, we carried that, and some of them also had adaptations of the, like, the Catholic, the Anthonias, the Ogun, like, don't share this part, because I sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. But the syncretic faith, where, like, St. Anthony was, who's my guy at the road, the crippled man, and that's what they would call him. My brain is on overload on another different day. I could tell you all of them Orishas like that, but that's what I wondered. Okay, Ogundele, god of iron, is here.
Yeah, the god of iron lives here. And I just like looked up Shango or whatever. So the iron context is around that, like, so I'm looking up Ogun even well as well, but just around the, like, the blacksmith aspect. So that's why my father says the god of iron lives here. So I think that there is some relation to Shango, but see what happens when you like tell people your name, you know, so much comes from it. So yeah, it's awesome.
Nessa, is there a story you'd like to share, a story or many stories you'd like to share about your name?
Sure, I can tell you about my name is Vanessa Ann Richards.
Ann with an E?
No.
Ooh. No,
bit of a sore spot. And, yeah, but my mother is a woman who is modest, and she doesn't like to overdo things. She doesn't like to gild the lily. So imagine what that was like with me. So she said Vanessa Ann Richards sounded good to her. They had heard the name. I'm named Anne after my grandmother, my great-grandmother, Anna Noy, and I have her tea towels over there. But my mother thought Vanessa Anna was too flourishing, and every time I hear Anna Maria Tremonti, I'm like, I got Vanessa Maria Tremonti. Vanessa Anna, I think Vanessa Anna sounds good. Like, literally, I have that on a regular. But get a load of this. I have to respect the intention of my parents' modesty. They're like, Vanessa and Richard. That sounds good too. And Richards is presumably a name of somebody who was involved in the slave trade. It did not come with the Africans that came to Trinidad. So not sure about that. Some say it's a Welsh name. There's a few Richards around. And Vanessa, if you look in a name book, it'll say, oh, it means butterfly. And I used to not like it because, like Aisha, I was like, nah, that's too soft for me. I ain't that. I'm like a butterfly. And then I'm like, hold on a minute, man. That's a symbol of transformation. I think I'm digging that. And then I went into looking at it and I realized that that is not even its root. It's a solapalism, I think I call it, like a word that's been invented in time. And the British satirist, Jonathan Swift, who wrote Gulliver's Travels, had a secret love affair with one of his students, Esther von Hornberg, and he could not write an encrypted letter to her. So he called her, instead of Esther von Hornberg, he took, at the time they called Esther's Essies or Essas, the van Essa, so that he could have this secret name for his beloved student. And then he wrote this big love letter called Vanessa and Katium. And it's like an epic poem. And that's what it is. So it's a kind of a secret lover's name, come butterfly, transformation queen.
Ooh.
Aww.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's poetic.
With my grandmother's name, Anna, she was German, ethnically German, living in Hungary. The Germans from the Black Forest area where they're from were a very agrarian, like most people, but they were super strong. And so the Austro-Hungarian Empire would bring these swaths of like German peasants to the empire to work the land. And so they would remain German in these different countries. So they were in a German enclave, and she married my great grandfather, who was Orthodox Jew. And that was quite courageous. I come from a long line of miscegenation, like clear lines of miscegenation, not like somewhere back there, but like seems everybody does it.
This is Macy again. I had to look this up. Miscegenation is marriage or relationships between people of different races. All right, back to the conversation. Aisha Kiani tells us about iDream Library and why she started it. iDream Library has a goal of abundant 2S LGBTQQIA+ BIPOC representation in classrooms and libraries around the world. iDream Library features educational tools that holistically reflect colonized communities and educate broad human value to settler communities.
So I would like to start off by saying, just to make clear to the listeners, that you have two Black women here today and one woman of color. So my background, again, is Pakistani, Norwegian, and French. I wanted to say that it's when I read Malcolm X's biography that, for me, I understood for the first time why people were looking at me a certain way, why they were calling me certain things, why certain things were happening to me by both the brown kids and the white kids in my school. I was like, wow, across the board of all these communities, there is a specific focus and dislike towards a group of people that have been foundation in all the privileges that we have today. I started to sort of dive into the systemic mud of it all from a very young age, mostly trying to find a sense of pride in myself as opposed to hating every single feature on my body, my hair, my nose, my lips. Like, it was too much to feel awful all the time. And I found a lot of comfort and resonance in when I read that biography. So that really got me started my path. And then, interestingly enough, my son was born on Malcolm X's birthday. So instead of being confused or feeling insecure about my looks, I decided to just learn about the history of why people might call me mulatto, why people would call me whatever, and figure out the historical context of how people were relating to me. And from there, I realized that people learn how to relate to me. And I went back to say, when I was young, was I offered a chance to learn to relate to myself? And so when I was young, I went to the bookshelf and there was no people that looked like me in any of the storybooks.
And in 2019, Aisha and her son Rakim launched iDream Library online and in classrooms throughout the Vancouver School District. And today, iDream Library works closely with QT BIPOC educators and community in curating intersectional K-12 literature for, by, and about queer, trans, Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities. You can check them out at iDreamLibrary.com. And here's Anthonia Ogundele, founder of Ethos Lab, about why we need more innovation spaces for Black youth to explore career paths in STEM. STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
There's a reason why Black youth haven't necessarily been drawn to STEM, is because they don't see themselves there. Or you don't feel like it's safe to fail or try different things. To even as we talk about the education system, Aisha brought it up, that it doesn't necessarily respond to maybe ways of learning. And so I'm operating off of a thesis here, but Ethos Lab endeavors to be that space that provides access to emerging technologies, tools, skills, equipment, and of recent releasing The Village, that allows Black youth to be able, where they feel respected, reflected, and protected to support their personal development. Because why learn STEM? Why learn all those things if not for empowering and trying to shift community and even change themselves? So what we're actually calling it is an innovation academy, a space where young people are not only able to access, again, the technology, but also, again, let me just actually describe it as such. you can take a look at Maker Labs, right? The hack space up on Venables. You have co-working spaces that are everywhere. These innovation spaces are not made for young people. These are all directed to adults. There's no space in the cities or major cities for young people to go in, hang out, and create really cool things. And you have private schools that are creating 30,000 square foot innovation spaces, innovation labs. We see the digital divide, which is absolutely magnified by COVID. And these young people that are in public schools or just in any outside of those institutions don't have access. And so what Ethos Lab is a space where they're able to come together, not only to access those tools, because it's so much more than that. It's about being able to access yourself and have that space to just try different things. And one of our main premise is being able to access it in a way where we start looking at empowering not just the teens, looking at the people that are facilitating in the 18 to 30 range, ensuring that they have the capacity, and taking even further to an intergenerational approach and having older people who also support and mentor those. So we truly see it as a village. And as we're trying to, you know, navigate and be able to like name it, it truly is a place that actually currently doesn't exist, that we're making real both in the virtual environment through our 3D virtual environment called Atlanthos, that young people are able to create, collaborate, and celebrate in. If you are between the ages of 13 to 18, we invite you to join Ethos Lab. So we currently have launched both our virtual space and our physical space. I mean, and so in our virtual space, they'll be able to attend workshops, attend events, and also are able to do 3D modeling and other type workshops and gain skills. And more importantly, over the next number of months, it's just building a solid community. And then in our physical space, we have that we'll be having different workshops there too. So coming up, we have on Tuesday, we have someone from Complex Magazine coming to talk about what it means to be an executive producer. And he's talking about Jobs Enlisted, a show that he's just created to talk about getting into STEM jobs. We will also have artificial intelligence workshops at the end of October that will go for 3 weeks. Because a lot of, actually quite a few of our young people speak French, we will be offering one of them in French, and we're very interested in multilingual access to STEM education as well. So if a young person wants to get involved and participate, they go to www.ethoslab.space/join. We also have a GoFundMe, and you can access that via our website, pressing support. But you can also just go to GoFundMe, look up Ethos Lab, and it's all there as well.
And Vanessa Richards talks about another project where Black parents are reimagining education for their children.
And the school is called ARC, Arts, Roots, Culture, Community School. And it was a group of parents. It is a group of parents who had been doing a Saturday roots and culture experience for their Black children. And then with the opportunity to homeschool them for this first semester, while the schools figure out how we keep moving forward, they said, well, maybe we'll keep doing this and we'll homeschool as a collective with our Black children. And we will center an Afrocentric, indigenized, land-based forest school that's rooted in their self-expression, their dignity, and their relationship to their intellectual lives. And right now the school is K-3. There's 8, maybe 9. We're just started. And I've been working with the Community Arts Council of Vancouver to bring in a program called Wild Imagination. And Wild Imagination is something that I'd been developing when I'd worked at another place in the downtown east side and was really particularly interested in the well-being of children in the downtown east side in response to what at the time was certainly the threat of climate change, but also how will these children survive when the earthquake comes, when the floods and the fires and all these other elements. Fast forward to now, this is an opportunity to support the mental health and well-being of children as they explore nature and resiliency through the arts, and therefore learn how to take care of themselves and their families and their people. And if people wanted to support that kind of work, I can tell you, you could make a contribution to the Community Arts Council of Vancouver. ARC is currently underway establishing their formal organization, because as I said, it's a group of parents that have just come together from the summertime to address their children's needs.
And to close this off, Vanessa talks about what we need to move forward from a present moment to a future that's brighter with hope, more optimism, more positivity, and a little more unity.
It's more than money that's needed, and it's more than giving something and then then your effort is over. It's really about how do we transform this culture, and as what the Sikh activist and civil rights lawyer Valerie Kaur says, perhaps this isn't the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb. And our job right now is to birth this new world together.
And that was facilitator and artist Vanessa Richards, Ethos Lab founder Antonia Ogundeli, and iDream Library founder Aisha Kiani. We talk about how to talk about racism, about the importance of names, and about some projects started by allies and members of Vancouver's Black community. And that's it for your show today. You're listening to The Pulse on CFRO, your super local daily news show, here on Vancouver Core Radio 100.5 FM. I'm Tan Macy. Please send me some email. Tell me what you think about the show. I'm at meixi@coopradio.org. That's macy@coopradio.org. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a mail. All right, take care. Happy Friday.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.